wrath of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. You know? No complaints. How's life?
Great.
Good. Your kids are
good? I use that Underdog app.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did it, and I don't know, rolled with some basketball stuff yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't really know what, you know, I've got an idea who the players are, but, you know, I'm like, meh.
That's like your least sport.
Yeah, I mean, like 24 and a half higher, right? You know, like three of them yesterday. I woke up this morning to check it. I won $258 last night.
Hell yeah.
On the NBA.
Hey,
I was
nice.
Like, oh, right.
Nice. That'll pay for some streaming services.
Yeah,
for a few
right?
Months.
Like, bam, thank
for
you.
Sure. I was just thinking earlier, like, when does NASCAR start? Because I'm ready to start asking our boss for those.
Well, I put some money on surfing
winners.
Today.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Here it comes. Football's about over. Mm-hmm. And Laszlo's betting on surfing.
Mm-hmm.
Will you bet on
higher than finishing in fourth place. So let's go. Whatever your name is. Let's do it.
What's his name? Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend on there?
Was it really, some surfer? Guy I picked.
Right.
I don't know.
What is it? Like, are there judges for surfing, or are they racing down the...
Well, I don't know how it works. I'll be interested to find out because I put money on it. But
was there a way to watch it?
It was basically like... my thing was like higher or lower than fourth place.
Okay.
I was like, well, fourth place.
Well...
In fact, he's even on here. It means he should get fourth place.
That doesn't seem that
different.
I didn't
put my name on there for fourth place. So, you know, this person obviously surfs.
I feel
do
like...
Do they even surf, though?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Sure.
That's kind of like betting on handball. You kind of attacked me a little bit for betting on handball that time. I don't think surfing is all that different. If you don't know how the sport works, if you don't know who any of the people are, if you've never watched it before, then you're in that...
The bandits. So just imagine if Cam Soto let you bet. That would be great.
Oh my God.
I got
God.
$50 that says it's a giant.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Snowcone, but I mean, what else are we going to bet on that?
Laszlo, is a good. Think about it. So they work for tips. They want private shows so that they can make more money. They're asking you to send tips. They don't really take their clothes off until you send tips.
Right.
What you do is we turn it into a betting thing. Obviously, the performer is going to keep part of this. Money.
Okay, I'm following.
Then we have to go along. We can either, we would have to use probably pre-selected options, and we're betting on, you know, what's going to happen, what is she going to do with this, what's underneath those clothes, what's, you know, and we'll have these selections, and what's she going to do, and we'll bet on it, and then the winner, obviously you get to see her take her clothes off, but also you could win some money. It's got to be legal. If betting is illegal, why wouldn't that be legal?
And whoever's got the most right gets a private show for free.
That's the grand prize.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get you were right. She does have a penis. You're moving on to the private show now. Here you go. And you also win a chunk of this money. And we'll give some money to second and third place,
too.
We
win every time.
Well,
just in the room with girls with wieners.
It depends on who the
you're
performer
like, I bet
is.
You got a wiener. In the
well,
way.
It's going to have to be a surprise.
Slim's here
you
again.
Know. Well, but we could think of some things to bet
I'm
on.
Sure.
They're desperate to try and find. They already take your cash and turn it into tokens, so it feels less like money. That way, you never know how much money you're actually giving them. Oh, I just gave them 50 tokens. I can't remember how much
right,
that is. Costs different based on how much you buy at a time. There's no way to know. Literally, like Snowcone always says, in this instance, there is no way to know what those 50 tokens cost me. And that's how they want it. But you could add this extra element by saying now you could win prizes.
Mm-hmm.
That private show. That little bit
and
of pool.
And they've almost got
the
it on Cam Soto. They've got.
You really still going to Cam Soto?
Yeah, of course. They've got a thing where you pay like, you know, I don't know how many tokens. You can spin a wheel.
Okay.
When you spin a wheel, when it comes up, that's what she'll do.
Oh, really? Well, that's
right,
what
you're
she'll
almost
do?
There.
Oh, so they
the
say,
infrastructure's there.
Yeah, you pay this much and you get to spin the wheel. And
yeah.
Then you spin the wheel, and boom, there it is. And it says, we're bringing in the machines. Yeah, and she's like, okay, we're bringing in the machines. I like it. We're going to make a lot of money. Yeah. We can put up posters to promote it inside cans, because I think inside our store cans that we're working on, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have any problem with advertising that sort of thing. It's an adult beverage business.
There shouldn't be all adults in there. The room upstairs, we'd do it ourselves.
Yeah, maybe the employees could actually be the same.
CansSoda.com.
Cans Soda. This is all coming together.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Well, you made plans yet for the big game?
No.
What are you going to do? What do you mean? Why'd you say it like that? No. Well, you're a big football fan.
It's not this weekend, is it?
No, but it's...
What am I doing? Getting ahead of myself.
Well, a lot of people, I'm sure, start making plans now. I'm going to watch it at the house. I ordered a better HD antenna. So... Mine's a little bit glitchy in all season. Every time I watch football, I'm like, man, I just need to order that antenna. But it's always as I'm watching football, so I'm like, well, if I order it now, I won't do any good until next week. That's the kind of idiot I am, so I don't have any money in savings. But I did get one of those so that I can hopefully watch it without glitches. But other than that, I kind of like watching it at home because, especially with your team in the game, if they lose, if things get stressful, I just kind of like being in my home base, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the Bucks won, and this will make people mad, but I had spent a lot of time mentally preparing for that,
mm-hmm.
and I watched the people around me who were watching that game, it losing their mind, some maybe even in tears, and that just didn't happen to me because I had mentally. It's kind of like being mentally prepared for a big birthday. I'm turning 30, whatever.
Sure, right. Okay.
So I haven't really mentally prepared for this one. I'm not sure how I would feel if the Chiefs lost this. I mean, obviously, I'd be upset.
Right.
But do you just immediately go, well, they've been this many times, and they've won this many out of this many? Is that what you do?
That's probably a consolation, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I got there, and you're like, you know, when you say there's next year, there really is next year.
I know. It's crazy. And I'm sorry, but there is no way, and I know, however I phrase this, Laz will say that I'm being a typical arrogant Chiefs fan. You watch them, like in that AFC Championship game, they win at the end, it was an exciting game, and you go, I know this isn't normal. I watched this team for 30 years struggle. I know what a big deal this is. I know that when they first made it to that AFC Championship ever many years ago, what a big deal it was. I was at the game when they won their first AFC Championship, when they went to the first Super Bowl, when they won. It is impossible, though, no matter how much you remind yourself not to take it for granted. I would argue that it is impossible to not be a little less excited.
Just be more upset when it goes away.
Yes.
And then be more excited when it comes back, whenever that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you won't realize how bad it is until whatever, you know, 10 years from now when Mahomes retires or whatever and it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's why we tell ourselves all the time now, hey, enjoy this. Enjoy this. And you can say that. And you can mean it, but there is still only so much. If your team, if it's been 30 years since they've been to a championship, if it's been 30 years since they've been to one of the big shows, even if it's even just winning a playoff game, it's a big deal. And I still wonder, for me as a 42-year-old guy, why was the Royals World Series win more emotional for me than the Chiefs for a Super Bowl win? Don't get me wrong. That Chiefs Super Bowl win was emotional. I was picking up Brooke and carrying her around, and we were screaming. But I can't lie to you. There was something about that Royals win. And was it because it was the first time I saw a championship for one of my teams in my lifetime? Or was it because I think winning a World Series is more exciting? I don't know. I guess I won't know until if the Royals go back to the World Series, if they were to win another World mm-hmm. Series. Now I could say, okay. But I do think that maybe that played into everyone's reaction a little bit, at least, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Like, there'd been such a drought for so long.
I don't really know how you deal with it, just trying to figure out which one you like more.
Well, you're a baseball fan. See, I knew. There's no way you can even bring this up.
But like, I don't know which one I was happier with when I won 4 Super Bowls or went to the World Series twice in the last 10 years.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
The Red Wings won the Stanley Cup like every year. The Pistons won the national championship not that long ago. I mean, it was 20 years ago. But we were adults when it happened.
By the way, I just watched that Malice in the Palace the other day again.
Those are good documentaries.
That's a good one.
So which one did you enjoy more? Like, as a kid, what was the first championship that one of those teams had that you saw? Was it the Red Wings?
First, but the Tigers is the first I remember.
That's 84. The first one you remember. And
that's
I'm
the big
guessing
one.
That
was the biggest of all of them.
Yeah.
The Pistons have won twice. The Red Wings went through that thing where they won like five
like they
out
won
seven
every
or
year.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like the Yankees for a while.
They
were just winning
good.
All the time.
Yeah.
And still the Tigers.
Yeah. And during that run when the Red Wings were so good, it overlapped for a while with that Pistons run. So
it
that's,
did. There was times where you would watch like a Stanley Cup. Stanley Cup championship or playoff and an NBA championship and playoff. They'd be on opposite nights.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you got four teams. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, how it works, I guess, when you got a couple teams that are good. The Tigers went back to the World Series, but the last time they, in like, what, 06, something like that?
Yeah, 07.
But the last time 07. They won was 84?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went twice.
So if you could choose one,
I even the Lions
because
the Super
they just
Bowl.
Haven't done it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you think that, even though you choose them because they haven't done it, do you think secretly that maybe you would be a little more excited about watching the Tigers win the World Series?
No, because they both made the playoffs this year.
Okay.
And the Lions losing was more devastating to my heart than the Tigers.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was excited the Tigers made it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
And you are a baseball fan.
I am. And
like,
I
that's
like
your
baseball,
number one sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it was like, man, that, you know, goddamn.
All this talk about...
At least I've been alive while the Lions have been successful. Now, granted, most people haven't. Or the Tigers.
Yes.
Granted, most people haven't, but I have been. Like, I remember being a kid in my room and putting a radio outside the window and playing the game. And people in our neighborhood lighting off fireworks when the Tigers won. And my dad not understanding it at all.
Yeah.
You're like, turn off the radio.
No
what
sports,
the hell are
right?
we doing?
No sports whatsoever for him.
Just won.
Yeah.
He's like, who cares?
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, there are dads that aren't really into sports, but you'd think that once they get to that level, they're right. like, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
I heard it on the radio. I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
They
no,
won.
He
that's
could
great.
Care less.
Nothing. Well, that reminds me of my older brothers. I mean, my youngest brother's 8 years older than me. My oldest brother's 16, 17 years older than me. And they would talk about remembering the Royals being so great.
Right.
And making
they won
those runs
the next
series.
Year, I think, right? 84, the
they
Tigers, 85, the Royals.
85, the Royals. And I think they had been in, they played the Phillies 1 year, and they had a rivalry with them. But I wasn't alive for any of that. So
Cardinals,
I would just hear
right? they,
stories.
The
oh, yeah, that's right. That was a right. a big one. That was the 85
Another
game.
Bad call that went Kansas City's way.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, as you know,
yeah,
history is what history is. I don't write it.
Didn't have instant replay. But do you think that the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday? Because this comes up every year, and now the Kelce brothers, I heard them right. talking about on their show, saying it needs
completely
to be.
It's one day out of the year, all right? One day.
The Super Bowl is meant to be played on Sunday.
Yeah.
If anything, we need to make Monday a holiday.
Yeah.
Just make Monday a holiday. The country should change what they're doing for the Super Bowl, not the Super Bowl for the country.
Come on now, people.
Come on.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine for holidays. But I always thought they should... I guess it wouldn't fix what they're wanting. They're saying the next day you should have off. I always thought they should do it on Monday and have Monday off. So you have that Monday off, and then it's Monday Night Football. Like, Monday Night Football is still a thing that we say.
Sure, yeah.
Even though it's not the biggest thing, it's still like Monday Night Football. Like... You know, you could do, I always thought it should just be Monday night. Those were, for most of us growing up, until it switched to Sunday and all the TV rights and everything else, but we still think in our heads
that
Monday
was,
night football,
that was
right?
the one. When did
you're
that?
Still waiting
that changed
for Monday night football. Monday night football is a big deal, you know?
It was a huge deal.
It feels
kids.
Like Monday night football should be the biggest game.
Well, there's some people who say move it to Saturday, and then that way...
Saturday's college football to me.
But exactly, and that's what the Kelce brothers are saying. It's meant to be played on a Sunday.
Right.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I'm all right with it Sunday, but I do like the idea of Monday, all day off. Have your party that night.
There is something about when you turn the game on, because Super Bowl is one of those things, one of those games you watch no matter who's playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you turn that game on, and there's a good chance you watch like pregame stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you turn it on sometime in the afternoon, and you start watching, and you know this will be over late tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I got to go to work tomorrow. And, you know, people have to get up early. I've heard them talk about how much that sucks hanging over their head. Like, I want to drink, I want to party, but I have to be at the job site at 5:30 in the goddamn morning.
That's a rookie take.
What?
The last thing I've ever worried about before I was going to go to a big party and have a bunch of fun is, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up in the morning. Like, you know what? If you're already thinking about that, then you're already a teetotaler. You're already someone who controls themselves.
Well, you don't get hangovers, so it's easy
have
for
a
you
big
to
drunks.
Some
guys
people...
like to party and pound 12 beers at the Super Bowl aren't the one. I'm sure they do it on a random Sunday anyway.
Sure, maybe, but some...
Right? Like, Sunday night ain't stopping those guys. Like, I don't know, guys.
Does
I just don't think it is. I think people who are responsible enough to be thinking about how much should I drink and how long should I stay out before I go to work on Monday are not the same people who are just getting hammered.
Right, but that's because it's a Super Bowl. There's a lot of people that are going to house parties and stuff and drinking that don't even really watch football. That's it's the Super Bowl. It's an event. They're watching. So
I'm with you.
People are drinking and partying, and I mean, they say, wouldn't it be nice if we had the day off of Monday?
Because some people are hungover. I'm just saying people who probably would get smashed on Monday aren't the ones who are thinking about the repercussions of Tuesday morning or Sunday or whatever.
Well, certainly
I feel like those people are already starting, you know, we're drinking already.
Yeah.
We're drinkers. We'll figure it out Monday morning. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, okay, but I would like to
just
reiterate.
If St. Patrick's falls on a Tuesday when I was drinking and partying all the time, it wasn't like, boys, let's settle it down, get in by 10:30, because we all got a big days tomorrow at work. That's just not a thought that went through my head.
But you should let people know that it is abnormal that you do not have hangovers. Laszlo doesn't even get headaches. So he's like, I'm not sure I know what a headache is.
I mean, I get tired. I'm more tired.
Right.
Because I stayed up later.
But the hangover part with the pain where your whole torso feels like it's on fire with heartburn, every muscle aches from dehydration, your voice sounds like this. Mm-mm. You don't get that.
Well, so, I mean, maybe. Like, no, I don't. I'm now, like, you know, if I've had a fifth of bourbon and smoked four packs of cigarettes, I wake up, I'm like, I have never heard of water before.
Sure, but no throbbing migraine.
I need to go get water, but once I get the water, I'm okay.
Yeah, see, the migraine not being there is kind of a big deal. They should study
it. Yeah, because I always thought
really
people complain about hangovers. I'm like, just go get some water, you'll be
right,
fine.
You're
I always thought it was just
thirsty.
Like dried out. I'm like, man, I'm gonna take a shower and drink some Gatorade, you'll be fine.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Well, time to do the news. I woke up this morning and turned on the little news channel there, and I saw Robert Kennedy.
Bobby.
Yeah, being asked questions by senators and such. Is it just senators? Is that how that works? Or other members of Congress there, too? It looked like senators that were asking him questions.
Depends, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. They were like, why don't you believe in vaccines?
Senate committee hearing?
Why do you think Lyme disease is a fake weapon? And I'm just like writing stuff down like, I got to look this stuff up.
Man.
There's probably some stuff here going. Well, he'd be like, you know, he'd either be like, I may have said that, or, well, there's more to it than that, or I don't recall saying that, you know, or a lot of times he did just say like, yeah, I did. I said that. Yeah, all right. But, you know, his cousin, Caroline Kennedy, JFK's daughter.
She just blasted him.
And she was asking all these senators, she wanted them to know today, hey, I think there's some things you should know about him. And I'm thinking, I think they know those things about him. Maybe not. So I'll play some of what she had to say. Also, Laszlo, I know you weren't a pilot, but you were in the Navy and you saw a lot of planes taking off and landing from the aircraft carrier. Did you ever think to yourself, you're never close to one?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess in my mind, I think like you're in a line as you get closer to the border. In Desert Storm, at least,
aircraft carriers.
And you'd see those planes.
Yes.
And I just imagine if I'm watching that live,
I'm
thinking,
like,
oh my God. Yeah, no, sorry.
Like when we went to Mexico?
We went over there. I just imagine watching that, and I feel like I would think this is the time it's not going to work because I'm watching
like,
this right now.
Like
they're gonna crash that thing. It's just
it
looks like it should be impossible. Yeah. Even when they do the flyovers at the stadium, I'm like, okay, guys, be careful. We'll get back to the base. That seems like, you know, it's cool.
Right.
By the way, people in the parking lot at games go flyover today. Like people get I get excited about you. I'm like, yeah, I love the flyover, but something happens, like, are they going to say, hey? They crashed that stealth bomber to do a flyover for the
Chiefs-Jacksonville game. At the Super Bowl, a stealth bomber.
Well, that'd be even worse.
I mean, I think they're in a dome this time, but, you know, if it was outside, just smashed into the crowd, it would probably be bad.
Yeah. Well, one of our fancy ones crashed, and it was quite the scene, but luckily the guy survived. I'll explain to you about that. And then also, Trump wants to be the hero. And I think he may end up being the hero to two people who really need a hero. Two people you know, those people probably think he's a hero too, though. Now that you mention it,
love him. He's saving TikTok.
But these are people that I didn't even realize still needed a hero. I guess I would have hoped that by now all of their problems had been solved. When I found out that they had not, I was a little bit shocked. Mm. So maybe you know about this, maybe not. But Trump's going to save them. I'll explain that as well.
The Church, with the Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll.
you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Powered by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yo. The news, my friend. Well, Robert Kennedy Jr., I guess, is looking for a job.
Yeah.
And Trump says, I can get you a job as a secretary. So I guess Robert Kennedy says, yeah, I'd be a secretary. That sounds good. But if you want to be a secretary in, you know, the White House or whatever, or the administration, then you have to go be, like, confirmed. You have to talk to people.
Such confirmation.
You know, anyone who's been a secretary has probably done an interview. But this is like an interview on steroids, because now you got all these people. They're all talking trash. They've already dug up all this dirt on you, which, generally speaking, when you go to an interview to be a secretary, they don't dig up a bunch of dirt on you first and say, why in the seventh grade did this guy say you gave him herpes? Like, how do you know that? But that's what they do in these settings. I just don't know if it's worth it. I don't know what a secretary makes, but he seems to want the job, and he's willing to answer these questions. The problem is, he does have some questionable views, and he has said some controversial things in the past, I would say. Is that fair? And his cousin, Caroline Kennedy, who's the daughter of JFK, she put out a thing yesterday saying, hey, when you go to listen to this guy, don't, or vote on this guy, vote no. Don't give him the secretary job. He has no business being a secretary. He's a bird of prey. Yeah, that's why he owns birds of prey.
I've known Bobby my whole life. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator.
In a letter, Caroline Kennedy, RFK Jr.'s first cousin and the daughter of President John F. Kennedy, warning the senators tasked with confirming her cousin to be the nation's health secretary that they should vote no.
His views on vaccines are dangerous and willfully misinformed. Bobby preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following, hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs.
Whoa, he vaccinates his own kids?
Ooh, is that true?
Is that true? You got any receipts, Caroline? I don't keep receipts of my cousin's inoculations, but maybe if you're a Kennedy, you do. Yep. Maybe she could dig that sort of thing up. Do you believe her? You think he vaccinates his own kids and then tells people not to get vaccinated?
Well, it wouldn't be Harvard to find out.
Well, and his wife or ex-wife could have said, we're getting our kids vaccinated. He could have been like, I don't love it, but, right? Like an argument about circumcision, and one parent says they're for it, and the other one's against it, and eventually somebody has to win that fight. By the way, circumcision, I don't know RFK's position on that. I'm against it.
Yeah.
I'm against it. Seems like a thing that should be put in the past.
Genital mutilation.
But behind us. And, you know, I think people say, oh, you're being hyperbolic when you say that. But how are we being hyperbolic when we say, if you say it's so much worse for the women in these countries in Africa when they, okay, maybe what they're doing over there is worse. But what's happening during a circumcision is a form of genital mutilation.
Of course it is.
And your reasons for doing it are so outdated and are just
Puritans.
Like Puritans.
They really did it because they didn't want you to masturbate.
You'll be less horny because sex will be less pleasurable.
Right.
Wow. Wow. And then you say, like, oh, well, also it'll reduce risk of, like, smelling bad or something.
No,
it's like, dude, I know how to take a shower, okay?
Yeah, no.
This is insane. You did it because
people come up with different ideas because they don't want to admit that it was just a Puritan idea.
Yep. That's all it was.
Right.
You can just
and all
it
you
out.
Women who are like, no, it looks gross or whatever. You say that when you go to Italy and bang the dude on the moped who says ciao.
Right.
Because you weren't talking about that when Francois.
Exactly. And got poop in his skin.
You weren't like, oh,
he had that extra skin there.
That looks gross, but put your beret back on. You weren't saying that.
No, I don't think they are. And I think they're just not used to it. You know, I get it. You're used to it growing up in this country. Okay, fine. Also, you know, it's one of those things, too, where they say if you're Jewish, you're circumcised. But it's not just Jewish Americans, right? It's like most, I don't know what the percentage is, but if you just, the percentage of people in their 30s and 40s right now in America, men, what percentage do you think is circumcised? It's got to be like over 80%.
Yeah, where? 75%.
In the United States, because they always say, like, well, it's a Jewish thing. It's like, it's not just a Jewish thing.
When we were on the West Coast, they were saying the West Coast is less than 50%.
Well, that could be.
But then you get into the Midwest and then religious parts of the country, and it's back up.
And I know it's going down. That's why I said, like, people in the 30s or 40s now, what the percentage would be nationwide. But it's not, like, okay, your parents weren't religious, Snowcone, right?
No.
But they did it.
Yeah, not really.
Well, I don't know what that means. What do you mean, not really? They started and changed their mind?
It's,
they failed?
I'm circumcised. I think there was an attempt.
They did attempt to circumcise
you. Yeah, they made a mistake, though. But that's not like your parents didn't. Your parents weren't like, well,
no, but they tried.
Just half-ass it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the more reason, by the way, to not do it. I mean, just listen to that. They tried, and it didn't go well. And that's just one of three people sitting in this room.
Well, I mean, it's fine.
Well, you say it's fine. You don't know what it could have been like if they hadn't gone down there and started messing about.
I guess.
I know that mine, they didn't do a perfect job of, that's for sure, if there is such a thing. And I'd been told that I'm over-circumcised. Well, that's good to know. You know, right. That's
man,
that's
and good. You also have a problem finishing.
Exactly. And my
doctor said, it's the medication. I'm like, meh, maybe not. Maybe you're over-circumcised.
You're right. And the doctor has literally brought that up before. Like, part of it is that. It's like, well, then why do they do it? Why do they do it? Who do I sue? It's, you know, my parents were told to do it. So can I sue the hospital that told them to do it? Just stop doing it. Stop doing it. If it's a religious thing, I'm sorry. It's a baby. You don't just get to say, like, well, it's our religion, so we're going to do this. That's not how this country works. Just let's all come together and say, hey, you know what? We don't need to do that anymore. No more circumcisions. Leave it alone. A pilot had to eject out of an F-35 fighter jet yesterday over Alaska, and there's video of the whole thing. The jet caught on fire somehow and crashed and exploded, but the pilot ejected and he survived, which I guess
this
is sort
morning
of rare.
A terrifying crash caught on camera. Video showing an F-35 jet falling from the sky, crashing onto the tarmac at Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks, Alaska, and exploding into a fireball.
There is a plane crash on Eielson. They have asked for mutual aid.
Miraculously, the pilot somehow survived, safely ejecting from the aircraft before floating to the ground in a parachute.
It went up in flames, and I didn't want to drive any further.
I don't know if this is true, Snowcone. You could look it up, but the thing I was reading this morning said that depending on who you ask, there is a 25 to 50% chance that you die when you hit the eject button, that it doesn't work.
Really?
I've seen Top Gun, but that was a malfunction, right? It didn't open up. He hit his head. I mean, but if you actually eject, what's the problem? Does the parachute not deploy? Does it just shoot you straight into the ground? I don't know. Those pilots. I know I'm not allowed to talk about how pilots are cool, because every time I do, people on military bases are like, hey, they get enough. They've got big enough egos. They don't need you telling them. I'm sorry, it's cool.
Okay.
It is. What? You don't think it's cool?
Fighter pilots?
Yeah, like
of course I think it's cool. I like Top Gun.
Yeah. It takes some balls.
Yeah, of course it does.
Obviously, like, I would assume some skill.
Hand-eye coordination?
Yeah. The inside of that thing looks complicated to me.
Yeah.
And they're doing it like in their early 20s.
Some athletic ability?
Yeah, right, that too. Yeah. So you must have some sort of gift because they're allowing you at such a young age to be in charge of this billion-dollar piece of equipment. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of cool. And even if they're just flying over the stadium, when they come in afterwards, they say, give them a round of applause. I stand up, Laszlo. Mm. I think those guys are cool.
I'm not a stander.
I know you're not a stander, and I'm usually not.
I sit for the national anthem.
Me too, a lot of times, just because I'm lazy and I'm tired of it. But those pilots, that's cool. I mean, think about it. Like, if your dad was a veteran, if he had been a pilot and had, like, old fighter jackets and helmets and stuff, cool, right? Did you think about it at all once you found yourself suddenly in the military?
Did I want to be a pilot?
Yeah, like, did it cross your mind? Like, could I be a pilot?
No.
Should I even consider that? I'm guessing you have to get...
It wasn't like... I wasn't...
Good grades or something?
I think all those guys, they go to college first. They're officers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you can just... I'm sure enlisted guys have done it, but I don't know. You'd have to go to college.
Okay.
You have to get a degree to be an officer, I think. Or else... And then if you don't, then you're called a warrant officer, and it's different.
So
I'm sure there are some warrant officer... I think a warrant officer is you started enlisted and then you switched. You got your college degree and then you became an officer. So, like, the warrant officer, if my term, it's been so long since I was in the Navy, if my terminology is right and it's warrant officer, then I think, you know, a lot of enlisted guys respect those guys.
Okay.
And they get more pull with the enlisted guys. Because, like, if they tell you to go do something, you're like, all right, I'll do it. Where sometimes, you know, you get a guy who just graduated from Missouri and he's like, go do this. And you're like, dude,
who are you?
I've been on this boat for 7 years. Like, shut it.
Right.
Don't talk to me like that. You're like, okay.
You just got here. So if you get a college degree and start, then you're an officer?
An officer right away.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So do you guys remember a long time ago? Sure seems like a long time ago to me. We talked about those astronauts that got stuck in space because the Boeing rocket ships kept failing. And they said, oh boy, well, since the Boeing stuff keeps failing, they've stranded these astronauts up there. We'll have to send one of the other ones, one of the SpaceX or NASA. I don't even know if NASA has rockets to do that right now. I think they were saying we'll send SpaceX. And we talked about it, like, when it happened, and then I recall us talking about it. I don't know, a month or two later, like, they're still there, but they're going to go get them.
I said it would be like a year, wouldn't it?
They're still there. I forgot. They're still there. Yeah. They haven't talked about those people really at all in that time span. They said last year.
About?
Well, they said February at one point. Do you remember that?
I remember them saying like
they said
a year.
January or February. Then I guess it got pushed back to March. And so I don't know if it's just continually getting pushed back. But Trump apparently personally asked Elon to go get them.
Go he said, get them,
well,
buddy.
You go get them. And he made
what
it political.
Did Elon say?
He made it political. He said because Biden left him stranded up there. So you need to go get him.
Well, he did. And he Elon sent him up said, there, and then he lost an election and left. Like.
Yeah.
That literally left them there. He did. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the biggest Trump guy in the world.
Right.
But,
I thought they were private. I thought they were...
Show me the lie. I don't know. I mean, Biden could have went and got them. We send government forces to go get people on top of mountains when they're lost.
Yeah.
Like, try to get that dude out of space. And he's like, meh.
Yeah. Well, he probably just forgot. Probably forgot. He's
Biden
old. He had a lot
them.
Of stuff. I thought that was a private thing, but maybe
thing.
The astronauts.
Yeah,
are
but I'm saying we go get private citizens from different places when they're lost.
True.
Sure. True.
Right. So why not space? Why not try and figure that out?
Yeah, he could have done more. Biden
could have. Like, there's somebody
more.
In, a, like I just said, in a mountain somewhere.
Yeah.
Lost in Oregon, we send Coast Guard and whatever out to sea. There's a boat. They're private people.
Yeah.
These people went to space, and you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, that actor from Arachnophobia that got lost in the mountain. They had a bunch of people out there
just
searching
saying,
for him.
Yeah.
I don't even know that he's American.
He was like, ah, they're in space. Too hard to get.
Well, Trump.
Like, why? Why? Because we've never been to space before.
Trump says.
Literally can't go there.
Trump says.
How are we going to be really weird for us to tell people we can't go there?
Depending on how well
there,
you know so Laszlo, you may not understand what he's saying right now. Laszlo, we'll talk about this some other time, but he doesn't believe in space.
So I believe in space.
He doesn't believe that we've gone to space. He doesn't believe... Well,
I don't believe
the
we've gone to the moon.
Stuff. Yeah, that's it. So Trump says, Elon, go get those guys that Biden stranded, and Elon said, you got
President
it, mate.
Trump is asking Elon Musk's SpaceX to bring back two American astronauts from the International Space Station. They've been stuck on that space station since June. Remember after those problems with their Boeing Starliner capsule. President Trump said he asked Elon Musk and SpaceX to, quote, go get the two astronauts, who he says, quote, have been virtually abandoned in space by the Biden administration. Elon will soon be on his way. Good luck, Elon. In a post then on X, Musk confirming that he and SpaceX will do so.
They will do
He's going, Elon himself?
He's
or
personally going?
Well, I would hope so.
That'd be
I mean,
sweet.
Isn't that what they're saying?
That would be awesome. Just stay up there with him.
I would hope that he's going up there to go get him. He should at least be... If there's other people going, you know, that wouldn't surprise
maybe
me.
Maybe he's going to send people there. I don't know. He's a captain.
Dude, what if he strapped another one of those Teslas to a rocket? He sits in the Tesla instead of that dummy, wears a spacesuit, and then, you know, you can have the other astronauts or whatever, and then he says, hop in the Tesla. It's a commercial for Tesla. It's a commercial for SpaceX.
And it goes and gets
those
people.
It saves these people who've been up there since June. What's the longest someone's been in space? Wasn't that Scott Kelly guy, the guy who... Didn't
That's
he break
a little
the record?
Bit shorter than the amount of time Snowcone's dad left him in a casino parking lot.
That's about right. About right.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Powered by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yo!
Yo! Doom scroll, you lanky son of a bitch.
Yeah. Don't forget to talk to your kids about this because it's tragic and it's not the first time I've seen a story like this or that we've talked about a story like this. I think you got
to
warn your kids about stuff like this because this teenager in South Carolina killed himself over this.
Oh, why?
And it's not the first time it's happened. A Nigerian guy scammed him, pretended to be a girl, used a couple different screen names, flirted with him, whatever, convinced him to send naked pics or whatever, some sort of embarrassing pics, and then said, give me money or I'm going to send this to everyone in your family and at your school. Now, this kid ends up killing himself. Absolutely tragic. 17 years old.
That's horrible.
I will say I'm proud of the police department down there, the country, whatever, because they went and got this guy.
Nigeria?
And they brought him here.
I didn't think he'd really be in Nigeria.
No, I know. Yeah, they extradited him, brought him here.
Good.
You can look at his mugshot now. I was like, all right, good. From Nigeria, they said.
I know, but from South Carolina?
To South Carolina,
My question is, the South Carolina cops went or the FBI?
Looks like South Carolina.
The CIA,
South Carolina, but it probably was the FBI because I know the FBI is in charge of cybercrimes.
I don't know how it works, but...
FBI is always the one that gets involved when teens or underage people are scammed online. So the FBI is probably the one that went and got them. But I was still happy that they went and got them and that they're going to try and hold them accountable as much as they can. But if you have kids... And it's not just, I'm sure, this happens to girls. We heard of that first. Revenge porn was really, that started with the idea that an ex-boyfriend or some kid at school get a hold of these pictures, and now he's threatening this girl. And then it could turn into, it did turn into a money thing. You better pay me for this. But then they started doing it to boys, and the FBI put out that warning, I think it was last year. Hasn't been that long ago, where they said, hey, this is a big problem now, so if you have teenage sons, you need to let them know.
He fell victim to a sextortion scheme over Instagram. Authorities extraditing Hassan Bun Hussein Abolor Lawal, a 24-year-old Nigerian man pretending to be a woman with usernames like Bella Janet 28 and Alice Connor 566. They say Lawal coerced Gavin into sending compromising photos, then threatened to leak the images and ruin the teen's reputation unless he sent money.
The defendant hid behind a screen and terrorized Guffey. These alleged actions are reprehensible.
It seems like when you have that conversation with your son, you almost have to have two. You have to have the, hey, you don't know who you're talking to on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
If you send pictures of yourself, they could try and blackmail you. And then you almost have to have a second conversation just in case this has already happened, which is, if this has already happened to you and you haven't said anything about it, it is not worth taking your own life over.
Right.
I know it feels that way right now, but your parents are still going to love you. Your grandparents are still going to love you. It's going to be tough. You'll get through it, and it will just be a bad phase of your life.
Right.
It doesn't have to end your life. This happens to these teens now more and more. I remember when you and I hadn't been working together that long. There was the girl, I think she was in St. Louis, who hanged herself after being bullied at school.
Mother or whatever?
Yeah, and we interviewed the mom, and that was... tragic. And it was just like, wow, imagine killing yourself over being bullied. And unfortunately now with the internet and social media, it's not all that uncommon. I'm not saying that it's common, but we hear about it a lot more. That was a shocking idea that this girl would kill herself over being bullied back in 2003, whenever that was. We're like, I can't believe this would happen. What were the kids
saying? I don't know what the suicide rates were.
It could be the same.
Whatever it is.
The ability to bully you in a different way by saying, now I have this and I'm going to send it to your parents, your grandparents,
and
your family, the whole
school.
And to be
able to do it, like we talk about, to be able to do it at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times when, like I said, in the fourth grade, everybody said they hated me and wrote a letter. But when I got home, my parents didn't know about it and the kids on my street didn't know about it. They were older than me. They weren't in the fourth grade. I just went down the street and played. My buddy was in the sixth grade. Like, it didn't come up.
Yeah.
And then if it did come up, I'd be like, the entire fourth grade hates me. Like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, it just wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal.
But
I could get away from
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
All I knew, I just have to get through this last day of this hour of the fourth grade, and then I can go play with my friends.
They might prank call you once in a while. I got the prank calls occasionally.
My dad.
And I told my dad, like, it's for me. It's for me. He's like, who keeps calling? And then I just left the phone off the receiver there so the line would be busy when they tried to call.
I told the story my dad was yelling at some guy who was prank calling me, and then he was getting so mad, and then my mom hung up the phone, and my mom said, What did he say? And my dad said, he told me to perform a sex act on him, and I crumbled inside.
How old are you? I've heard this story a million times, but I don't know.
Sixth, seventh grade, maybe?
Okay.
And I'm like, what happened?
Right. This is my fault.
What does that even mean? Like, oh, it took me years later to be like, the guy just said, suck my...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But which is bad, though.
Right.
But
it's bad. But it's not like if you just said, hey, told me that, I'd have been like, oh.
Yeah.
But the way he said it, like he had never heard that phrase before.
Scandalized. True scandalized.
It was something sexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was horrified.
Man. I don't know. That one's a good one. I like that one. I like the one about when you told your mom that you knew how to get girls pregnant, you just pee in them and your mom said, well, I'm not sure if that works, but it's certainly not a good way to make friends.
Or maybe she said,
that'll lose you a lot of friends.
She said, that's not how it works. And by the way, that'll lose you a lot of friends.
I love that one.
I'm like, now to this day, I'm still like, what does that mean?
Right. She's like, speaking from experience, like, I hate it when guys do that.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what does that mean?
I never say friends
with them.
And why
would I lose a lot of them? Like, right. I guess apparently we lose one, I think.
Oh, great. You're going to end up being a golden shower guy like your father. And then the other one, the third one, of course, it's the Holy Trinity, is finding your Ozzy album and saying, diarrhea of a madman. That's disgusting.
You will not listen to this. She
misread it.
Yeah, she misread diary.
Diarrhea.
What are you listening to? Diarrhea of a madman.
Such a good name, though. It's such a good name. I bet if you had a time machine and went back and he's like, I'm calling it Diary of a Madman. If he said, you could call it Diarrhea of a Madman. I think there's a chance he's like, yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
that's better. That's better.
Diarrhea
if you don't use it, else
people will. And if you want, if that made you laugh, that my mother thought it was Diarrhea of a Madman, I suggest when you get a chance, just Google image that album.
Right.
If you don't remember it, and you're like, no, I get why she said Diarrhea of a Madman.
It's amazing. Moving on. So, yes, have the conversation with your sons, though. Don't send the pictures. And if you've already done it, your life isn't over. But, you know, don't do it if you haven't yet. Please don't do it. I'm not trying to say that you only have to have this conversation with boys. I know they have to have it with girls. That kind of almost goes without saying because girls, I think, are usually the victims of this more often. That's why it's kind of a bigger story when it happens to guys, because when we first started hearing about it last year when the FBI talked about it, you're like, oh, they're doing this to guys? And you may have heard of it somewhere. I actually know someone who, I got to be careful here, but he was stationed out of the country for work. Mm-hmm. And someone started messaging him over social media or something. I think it was Twitter, but I'm not positive. And then this is the story that I've been told, so I don't know if it's true or not. But eventually got to a point where this person says, well, guess what? You know, you've been saying all these things. This person was like flirting with him and everything. Mm-hmm. Eventually says, guess what? I'm underage, and you've been talking to someone underage.
Oh, no.
So you better pay me, or I'll report you. That sort of thing, okay? And that story I've heard is that he's like, F you, whatever. But somehow, it did get to the authorities, and he had to register as a sex offender.
Oh, no. Yeah. Was she underage?
I guess it was a real person. She must have been, because it was a real person. And again, the story I was told, there was no talk of him being like, how old are you? And she said she was underage. Anything like that. It was just flirtatious, and then it got kind of dirty talk, and then it was her going, hey, guess what? You never asked how old I am. I'm underage. I'm like, that they can do that? So he may be lying. He may have been like, tell me you're 14. You know, I don't know. But that was a story I was told, and that he had to register. So, I don't know. Just tell your kids in general to be careful on the damn messages. You know? But I know it's hard. I know how horny I was at their age.
Man,
I know how horny I am now. And I know definitely how horny I was then.
Yeah.
And if someone that I thought was a girl from school
sent a message as a grown-ass man that you're like, damn, I wish I could take that back.
Right.
Of course.
Of course.
And your brain's fully formed.
And the thought of seeing a girl from school naked, like we had one girl who played Truth or Dare at an overnight on a Saturday, and Monday morning, one of the other girls, who obviously wasn't a very good friend, brought a Polaroid picture of her lifting her shirt up, showing her boobs. And the girl's, you know, who was in the picture, she was very upset by this. The friend had betrayed her because it's supposed to be a Truth or Dare thing. Let us take a picture of your boobs with the Polaroid. That picture made it around the school the old-fashioned way. Now that picture makes it around the school immediately cell phones. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm guessing when you're 14, 15-year-old boy, there's a girl at your school, and you're thinking, she might send me pictures. It's going to be very hard for you to take the advice, heed the advice of your parents, and just not engage in this at all.
Right.
When you think that she's talking dirty to you.
I will say, I don't know. I think if that picture would have come out today of a girl with her shirt up, and it would have went to the kids in high schools today's
phones?
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be nearly as scandalous. I almost think in an odd way they're used to it.
That too.
Right?
Unfortunately.
So it's like back then, they're like, oh, look, I got Sally's breasts on video. Right. They were like, what?
Yeah.
Send it around. But now I think they'd be like, hey,
I got
Tina's boobs on video. And they're like, cool, man.
Carl's dork.
Right.
Everyone's dork for that matter. Yeah, I promise.
I think
there is
a part where it's kind of like, well, you know.
Yeah.
There's some mass consumption to that where you're like, yeah, we all seen Carl. No. But
you're right. Maybe that makes it it's a little bit easier, at least, for young people to be like, maybe I shouldn't do this. And then finally, Lazo, I told you, O.J. Simpson's in the news. I mean, he's not. He's dead. But it's his home. He had a house in Vegas. That was the house where he posted a lot of those videos on social media, giving his thoughts on current events and all that, right up until the time he died. And his son, Justin, is now living in that house. And I guess he's not supposed to be living in that house because of how the trust works. And he's refusing to leave. So the estate, O.J.'s estate, is suing his own son.
A new legal battle between the estate of O.J. Simpson and his son Justin, all revolving around the Las Vegas home where the notorious figure lived out his final years. The house was purchased in Justin Simpson's company's name to protect O.J. Simpson's interests while shielding the property from creditors. Though O.J. Simpson was the de facto owner and paid all expenses for the home. After Simpson died last April, the lawsuit says his son moved into the home and alleges he's now refused to transfer it to Simpson's estate.
I don't know how that stuff works. I know that he was trying to put things in a lot of different names, maybe because of the Goldman Civil.
That's what I was thinking, right?
That's, I'm assuming.
So much, yeah.
But I don't want to get sued.
I would just think his lawyer would have that figured out to some degree.
Yeah. But
I mean, he's still OJ. I mean, he's dead, but he's still OJ. And lawyers who were would probably help
money.
Them,
there was money. He tried to say that he was broke a lot, but we all assume that there was money. It would just be so cool to have parents leave you a home. Like a house, or even I'd take a lake house. My buddy got a lake house that was his grandparents, and when they died, they left it to him. Just imagine being left something like that that's paid for. I know you still got to pay the taxes on it or whatever, but to just have a place, that would be pretty sweet. Do you know anyone who like lives in a place that was left to them?
No.
Or got a place?
I don't.
It seems like back in the day, that was probably more common. Nowadays, I assume people are always paying off loans they're leveraged. Years until the time they die, but it would be amazing if you, because even if you didn't love where it was, like, if, I don't know where I don't want to live, but if my parents had a house that was in some town I didn't really like, some small town, and they said, okay, we're leaving it to you, well, guess what? I'm living there.
Really?
I mean, like, no question about it. If it's paid for, because I'm just afraid that I'll sell it and I'll gamble some of that money. I'd have to be like, we gotta. But if it is a house, let's say it's a nice house, but it's in a rural area, so it's not worth very much because of the area. Now maybe I think this is a nice house. I don't know. I'd kill for a lake house. What if your dad had left you a lake house? You're from the land of a million lakes, right? You had
my
that condo.
Sold it.
I know. And you probably thought that condo on the beach was going to be yours one day.
I had the idea.
Yeah. Now, you're not bitter about it. No, it's not like, hey, that was mine. You're not one of those people, but I'm sure there was a part of you that went, ouch.
Yeah, I was going to retire then.
Okay, that's a change of plan.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
So, story out of Detroit, Michigan, Laszlo's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman there named Dank DeMoss.
Dank?
Yeah, that's what it
is. So is that like a nickname?
Dank. I don't know. They call her Dank DeMoss.
Okay.
And she is suing the rideshare company Lyft, alleging that she was not allowed to enter the Lyft when it arrived, that the Lyft driver told her she couldn't get in the car. Now, she was on her way to a Detroit Lions watch party. When did they lose? I don't know. However long ago that was.
Okay.
Whatever day that was. And so she's going to go watch the game with some friends. The Lyft shows up. The guy allegedly rolls down the window, the driver, and says, sizes her up, like, man, you're too fat.
Oh, no. For his car?
Yeah. He's like, I think you're too big for my car. And
what kind of car did he have?
He says something about, it looks like in the clip, from the portion that I can see of it, it's a small car. It looks like maybe a Hyundai Elantra, something like that. Like that size car.
Mm-hmm.
And he also tells her, according to her, he mentioned something about his tires. Maybe he's got a bad tire. Okay. And he's afraid, I guess, then that her weight will just
how much does she weigh?
Into this tire. She's a big girl.
How big?
Man, I'm bad at judging that stuff because she's probably not too terribly tall, but she's a big girl.
Show me a picture of her.
Like those, if
like my 600-pound
a Gilbert Grape
sister.
Bomb.
I'd have to. That car. One's. You can't. I can't. Yeah, that one's just her face. I'd have to find. I'll find a
what's
better
your last
picture
name?
For you.
Dank what?
DeMoss. D E M O S S. She's a rapper, so there's probably. She probably has rap videos. So go and look her up and see if there's some rap videos of her, and then you can get a better look at her. But
let's hear her rap songs. Detroit rapper Dank DeMoss.
Yeah, we should listen to her. So she says that the driver said, "Hey, got a bad tire, whatever." And she also claims that the Lyft driver's like, "Listen, you need to get back on the app and you need to." Sorry, you need to get back on the app and you need to request an XL. That's what
yeah,
he told her. So right, it's not like he just says. It's just my tire. He has to take it. You know, he could have at least stuck with that and been like, I'm sorry, I got a bad tire. I probably shouldn't be driving this car anyway. You know, you're kind of big. I'm kind of big. You know what? It's probably best. I shouldn't be driving. We'll get a different car here. But he tells her she needs an XL. This is her. Dank DeMoss.
Said you want to be my babe. You got me feeling the same.
She's sitting in a car? What kind of car? Is it an XL?
That's my man, I'm gonna fight.
Okay. Well, this very well could have been like a Nissan Versa or Altima. She sounds good. This thing says her legal name is Deja Blanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyhow, she shares this video on Instagram. She gets a lawyer, and now she is suing Lyft. If I were in her position, I would have gotten a lawyer and I would be suing Lyft. 100%, no doubt about it. That's embarrassing. And it's like adding insult to injury where you're trying to make it seem like you got an issue with your tire. But then when you say you need to order an XL, a bigger car.
But that is like, what it's called on the
app,
right?
I know. Yeah. And that's not what I'm mad about. I'm saying like he could have just tried to leave it with the, it's my car specifically because of this bad tire, instead of, you don't fit in regular cars. You need to be in a bigger car.
I'm sure she... To me, you don't have to do any of that. Just drive by her and cancel the ride.
Yeah, exactly. Don't talk to her.
Right? And then if, you know, your boss at Uber calls you or whatever, you're like, I didn't see anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I drove by and canceled. I didn't see anybody. Like, you don't have to do anything. Like,
right.
That's the thing. Like, you don't have to react.
Right.
Try to
spare someone.
Just be like, oh, that's not going to work for me, and just drive. It's fine.
Sadie says, I'm sorry, I got no space. My car is small. And she replied and said, I can fit in this car. And he said, believe me, you can't. So I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cancel the ride, and you're not going to be charged. And she says, so you're telling me that I can't get in the Lyft because it's hard to kind
of
hear what they're saying. So, yes, I'll play you some of it. But it's just kind of hard to make out what they're saying. She says, so you're telling me that I can't get in the Lyft because I can't fit in your car? Are you really telling me that I'm too big to get in your car and that I have to order another Lyft? And he responds, yeah, you need to order a bigger car. So he said he went on to say that he had this issue with his tires and that's why she couldn't ride in the car.
So are you really telling me I'm too big to get in your car?
Deja Blandings recorded it all.
I was too big and his tires, something about his tires.
The 29-year-old was headed to a Lions watch party, only she never got there.
So you telling me I can't get in the Lyft because I can't fit in your car?
The driver told her she needed to request an XL car.
I was embarrassed and I feel some type of way about it.
She's hired a lawyer and is suing Lyft.
Yeah, I'm sure you do feel some sort of way about it. I can only imagine. Yeah, just like try and be nicer to people. And in that moment, like Laszlo said, you can just cancel it and drive off.
Yeah, you don't have to stop.
You don't have to talk to her. You certainly don't have to tell her, like, no, you need to order a bigger car. None of that needs to happen.
None of it.
And
I mean, you don't have to engage with her.
And it's not so crazy, I don't think, to maybe once in a while go out of your way and sacrifice some of your convenience or even make yourself uncomfortable to try and protect someone else's feelings and dignity. I remember being on a flight one time, and I was flying with my ex. We had seats that weren't together. And a woman, there was some commotion at the front of the plane. A woman got up, an older white woman. She starts walking back to the plane. And a flight attendant says, we need a volunteer to come sit up here. Now I know that my ex is sitting up there. So I'm like, oh, I'll go sit up there. And I can see my ex is standing up looking back at me going, don't. But I don't know why she's saying that. And I'm thinking, no, I'll come up there. I get up there and there is a guy. Now, I say guy, he was young. I'd say he was 16, 17, 18.
Right.
And he was.
Where's the flight to, by the way?
He was huge. Puerto Rico.
Okay.
He was huge. he definitely was taking up two seats, right? But he didn't have two seats. And they needed someone to sit in that seat next to him. And it wasn't a real short flight. But in that moment, when I see why that woman left, and he's kind of looking at me, the only thing to do is to just sit down and say, hey, what's up, man? How are you? And I was literally sitting like this. I mean, he couldn't help himself. I was pressed up against the other way. And, you know, yeah, it's not very comfortable. But we had a conversation. Certainly wasn't about his weight. Or that you should have bought two seats.
Right,
and, you know, just try and be nice to people once in a while. You think she's not insecure about her weight? Maybe she's not. Maybe she's totally body positive. I know there are people that say they are. I still think that most people have some insecurities about the way they look. And especially when you talk about something like weight, and you're going to pull up and say, my car's not big enough. I think she should sue him. I don't know how much money she can get out of Lyft. Maybe they give her a couple used Kias that smell like cigarettes or something, all they've got. But I don't know. Maybe they've got some money. I don't know if she's got a case or not, but why not? I mean, it says according to the complaint, she paid for the Lyft ride to go watch this football game. He shows up, tells her no, that he's too big, doesn't let her try and fit. She's got a no because she lives in this body every day.
Yeah.
If she can look at a car and go, I'm not fitting in that, she'll know.
Yeah, right.
And if she looks at it, because by the way, we've all seen it. You've seen someone, a large person, sit down in a chair at the DMV or wherever it is, and you go, wow, I did not think that you would fit there.
Right.
But they knew.
Yeah.
They knew. And that's that. She knew. If she said she could fit in the car, she could fit in the car. And I don't know how much she weighs, but whatever it is, it's not past your payload capacity whatever you're supposed to, you know, if you had your trunk loaded. Like, it's just, there's something specific.
When people apparently are mad that she's suing Lyft. Like, why are you suing Lyft?
Yeah.
But it's like, well, you don't, I mean, you don't affect change if you don't.
Right.
I mean, if you just say, okay, and that's it, then Lyft continues to do what they want. That guy continues to tell people that are big or that he doesn't like. And, okay, it's real easy to pick on fat people. But what if he just drove up and was like, it does not look like you got the money for this.
Right.
Why don't you call something cheaper?
Yep.
Would you be all right with that? What wouldn't you be all right with? Because it only you're all right with all of it until it affects you.
Exactly.
Until you are put in that group. Are you the fat person? Are you the poor person? Are you the black person? Are you the what person are you? And what does that person have to say before it matters to you?
Yeah.
That's the question, because one of them's going to matter to you.
Yep. And I don't know where you're reading.
Right, and I'm not even putting no protected class. Okay, well, okay, so take protected classes out of there. I guarantee you fall into some sort of group that's not a protected class, and of some sort, and someone could drive by and be like, man, you're not making enough money. You know what? Why don't you call the one where they share people? Because this is a Lincoln.
Yeah.
And boy, I don't really need the back seat of my car to smell like this. Would you be all right with that then?
Right. How about, you are not attractive enough to be in this vehicle.
Yeah.
I just don't want people seeing me ride around. Just in case they don't know I do this rideshare thing, I don't want them thinking that I'm like dating you or something, because that would be really embarrassing. That would hurt your feelings, wouldn't it?
Right.
And I don't know which thing you were seeing, but some of the stuff that I saw people saying, well, she's suing, it's a rideshare company, you know, sue the driver. It's not a like a typical business. Yeah, well, that's their problem. You know what? They got to have their own policies. And the complaint that was filed says, defendant Lyft, through its agents, representatives, and employees, unlawfully discriminated against plaintiff based on her weight, treated her differently from similarly situated individuals based on weight, and allowed plaintiff to be subjective to unlawful harassment based on her weight. Sure seems that way to me.
Right.
I say sue away. Also, pretty good rapper.
Not bad.
Have to check out your MySpace.
170,000 followers. Probably picked up more, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, Grammys.
Yeah.
Have you ever,
other than going, me neither, other than being there, have you ever watched it on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it before, of course.
I'm aware. I know that I've seen clips of it, but I can't remember telling. I don't remember my family ever sitting down to watch the Grammys. I don't remember, as a music fan, I love music. I don't remember ever having a time where I was like rooting for someone. I guess I think of the Grammys as being mostly a pop kind of award show. They focus heavily on big pop stars. That's who's going to do the performances.
Yeah, we've seen
Beyonce and Taylor Swift,
you know,
and
J Jack White on there.
Sure.
And the Foo Fighters.
Sure.
And
yeah. But
well, we've seen it.
Overall, I think of it as kind of it's popular music, right? And
yeah.
So that's who you end up with. So I just saw this thing because the Grammys, there was talk about them canceling them, but they're not going to do that. They're supposed to happen on February 2nd. Laszlo mentioned earlier a couple of artists that are scheduled to perform. But I was looking at this thing that was talking about artists that have never won the Grammys. Now, you can also look up some artists that have won the Grammys that you've never heard of, and that list is pretty long, too. I'm just going to play you a little bit of music here, just so you can have some background music for artists who never won a Grammy. This seems crazy to me. Now, maybe that doesn't seem so crazy to you, Laszlo, but I would have thought that ABBA had won a Grammy
ABBA
at some point. The first one was.
Was first. Then there was
how about this, though? The Beach Boys?
They never won one?
That's what it says. What about Journey? Journey? Oh, sorry. So go.
All these songs are mixed up, so I don't know.
Well, you know Beach Boys. I would have thought for sure they had to have won at some point. I mean, then.
Well, there we go. Now,
how did they not win? Even for that song, rock song of the millennia.
Yeah, they probably would have won
something.
What won? You know, like, was there a bigger song that we know that won? You know,
I guess, yeah, you have to go back and look and see. Bigger than "Don't Stop Believin'"? Queen.
Like, Queen never won one, huh?
That's what it says. I mean, unless this list is wrong. It says ABBA, Arctic Monkeys, Backstreet Boys. I mean, that's okay. Beach Boys, Bjork, Blake Shelton, Bob Marley, Brian McKnight, Chuck Berry, Busta Rhymes on there, Dean Martin, Demi Lovato, Diana Ross, The Grateful Dead, Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses, how did they not win Best Rock Album? Was that a category? It had to have been, wasn't it? Best New Artist, Best Rock Album, that they could have won those. Jennifer Lopez, Jimi Hendrix, The Jonas Brothers, okay. Journey, Katy Perry, Kiss, Lana Del Rey, Martina McBride, Nicki Minaj, Notorious B.I.G.
Katy Perry's never won one. That's crazy.
NSYNC, Patti Smith, Queen, Rush. Rush never
well,
won a
Smith
Grammy.
And Rush.
Selena Gomez, Sia, Snoop Dogg, Spice Girls, and Tupac. That is a lot of big. The Beach Boys probably the most.
That's
surprising.
Pretty shocking that they didn't win one.
Not even one. What about Journey?
It's shocking. Like, even Katy Perry hasn't won.
And you didn't
one.
Tell yeah. me, but if you told me the Beach Boys didn't win it for Pet Sounds or whatever, like
sure,
okay,
yeah,
but
yeah, sure.
I would have thought, you know, Surfing USA or something
exactly.
back then would have won Song of the Year.
They had to have won something.
Right.
They had to have won something. I'm with you 100%. If you say this album lost, and you're like, well, it should have won, but yeah, but they right. still won something. No, they won nothing. And then, like, okay, Bob Marley. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe people
how,
didn't get it. I wasn't maybe around. That, maybe people
exactly,
didn't get
it
right when it came out.
Maybe it took a while.
Right.
For people to really come around to reggae here and they were late. But Guns N' Roses?
No, you
GNR was the right. biggest thing in the world. You want popular music? You want rock? If there's a rock
they
category.
Were nominated best, 4 times.
4 times. That is amazing. I mean, that's like Daniel Day-Lewis never winning an Oscar, right? Wasn't that a thing at one point? They're like, this guy? No, maybe not.
No,
I think he
wants
Oscars.
Foot,
there was somebody. There was somebody else who hadn't won an Oscar.
DiCaprio.
Okay, DiCaprio, yeah. God, I feel like DiCaprio not winning an Oscar actually is a little easier to believe than Guns N' Roses not winning a Grammy. That just seems crazy. So the point is, I'm not saying all these artists are great or that they all deserved Grammys. I mean, although Chuck Berry never won a Grammy? Okay. None of these people won Grammys. So, you know, when you're watching it, who am I kidding? Nobody's going
to
be watching.
The craziest
that.
To me is Katy Perry because she is like the
exactly.
Grammy
I would have thought
star.
When she was at her biggest during those years
at
that she would have had an armful of Grammys, right? Just holding all those Grammys.
The other ones,
Russell
Beach
Simmons,
Boys, Bob Marley. Like I don't know if you know how old it is.
Beach Boys,
but Katy Perry's
me.
Like right there.
I gotta say, Guns N' Roses. I know the Grammys were around, nominated 4 times, never won. That's insane. That is absolutely insane. Guns N' Roses didn't win a Grammy. Think about the biggest rock bands of the 80s and 90s. And just ask people to make a short list.
They were nominated for Best Hard Rock Performance with Vocal, nominated in 90, 92, and 93.
Yeah, even if you get the late
one. Well,
that's
win. Not even Appetite for Destruction.
No, you're probably
they were
November
nominated
Rain and
Best
stuff.
Best Box Set in 2019.
Well, sometimes they do the makeup award, right? Like in the Oscars. Ah, they should have won for Appetite.
Appetite is inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, see? They knew. They knew they screwed up.
The Church of Laszlo.
Hello, Danny Parkins. Is that you?
Hello, it's me.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm great.
Our loyal sports friend.
There
our loyal celebrity
oh,
friend. our guy. He's always been our guy.
Yeah, Danny Parkins.
Yeah.
Listen, I've always been your guy, and you've always been my guy, but I am a little mad at you. You guys have complicated my life. You know that?
Why?
Well, because before I met you, I was just a guy on the radio. And now, because my wife listened to me on the radio, we're still married. And now I have two monsters of kids.
It's our fault.
Yeah, it's your fault that I step on Legos and that I've seen all three Sonic.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I never knew that she heard you on our show. I always thought it was weird that she was listening to your show.
Because yeah, I mean, knew nobody she did that.
Right. I was like, no,
I knew she wasn't listening to your show. What show she was listening to, I didn't know.
I'm the idiot. I knew that she was a listener. You just said she was a listener, and I was like, oh, cool. Right. You can get chicks and sports.
She was not one of my six listeners. She was smart and had excellent taste, and so she listened to your show.
Oh, okay.
And now all of my money goes to toys and childcare.
Well, that's awesome.
Ridiculous.
That's good, though.
You know, it's great. Right? It's great. I'm very happy.
By the way, I thought the third Sonic was pretty good.
You know what? Anything are really terrible. It was pretty good.
I've heard nothing but good things. If I'm being honest, I've heard everybody say the same thing. Like, that's a pretty good movie.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Who would have thought they could bring back Sonic like that?
Here's the thing. I'll watch Sonic 4.
Oh, yeah, of course. Even if your kids don't want to, one night, late at night, you'll be like, I'll turn it on.
Jim Carrey still doing
it? Yeah, my kids, I watched whatever it was, Wreck-It Ralph, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they went to the movies with their mother one time and saw Wreck-It Ralph 2. And then like a year later, I'm like, oh, this is on TV. And everybody's asleep. I was like, I'll watch Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Right. I didn't get to see it. Yeah.
Steph was out of town, and I know we'll talk Super Bowl, when I took the kids to see Moana 2.
Oh.
And she talks about it all the time. She's like, I want to see Moana 2. I'm like, you can go. Like, you can go see it yourself. Uh-huh. We'll just wait for it to come out. I'm sure we'll watch it 100 times.
Yeah.
But Super Bowl, that's why you called.
Yeah, Super Bowl. So we know who's in it now.
Yeah, we know who's in it. We get the rematch. And somehow Philadelphia is the team that America is rooting for. How did this happen?
Because everybody hates the Chiefs even more than that. That's how you know people hate the Chiefs, when they're like, well, they're rooting for Philly.
Well, if Jim Nantz says cheat, Pete, and you're like, wow, this has made it all the way to the top.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I would do sports with you guys and the team had, like, you know, Jamal Charles and Eric Berry,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, good but not great players like Alex Smith, you know, Matt Castle, I think, had been in a K-Swiss commercial or something.
Right.
You guys, what will it take for the Chiefs to get an endorsement and national attention?
Oh, yeah.
Now they have so many endorsements and national attention that they've become hated. It's really remarkable.
That is great. I remember asking you that. I said, you know, there's players that are good, and you said, like, I know you think they're great. And and you said to me, like, but as a Chiefs fan, you just got to know, like, they're really good, but there's a couple guys that are better.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, seems awesome.
Yeah, there's just a tier of guys who were better and won more and were more famous.
Yeah.
And now everyone on the Chiefs is, like, as famous as you could possibly be. And so now you're hated. It's really, really weird that the Philadelphia Eagles and that miserable sports town are actually the team that the casual fan is rooting for. It's crazy.
Well, they did lose last time. I mean, I wonder. No, they would probably still be rooting against the Chiefs, I guess, if the Chiefs just kept going back to Super Bowls. That's all there is to it. You're a Chiefs fan, though, Danny.
I think the only thing that even made it close, like a little bit, where people are like, I just hope a meteor drops on the place, is that it's the Eagles. Could you imagine if it would have been the Commanders or the Lions or the Vikings, anybody against the Chiefs? It would be over the top of at least Philadelphia's dampened that fandom enthusiasm a little bit, because it's like, I hope Philadelphia wins. Matt Stafford kicks their, like, any of those teams would have picked up
the Vikings
so much.
Or the Lions. It might have been hard even as a Chiefs fan, where you're like, oh God, I feel bad for those fans. That's for their due, but it is what it is. The Chiefs are in there.
But I mean, I think now with the Eagles, people are rooting for a scoreless tie.
I think that's
like the general consensus. Yeah,
and the general consensus amongst gamblers is,
I think that it's that Philadelphia is the better team, but the only real reason to pick Kansas City is the very rudimentary analysis of they always win.
Yeah.
Which, like, I can't really go against it.
There starts to be something to that. You know, for a while it can be flukes, but after a while there's something to it. And you start to go, man, maybe they do have some of the best coaches. Maybe it's not just Mahomes. Maybe this whole thing is a well-oiled machine. Because it's close,
doubt,
but
right?
You still win.
The Chiefs have the quarterback advantage and the coaching advantage. Those are two excellent places to have an advantage in a game. Now, the Eagles have good coaching. Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator. Sirianni's won a ton of games. But Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo are better. And obviously, you know, Mahomes is better than Hurts. And Philly is, you know, their offensive line is better. Their defense is better. Their wide receivers are better. Obviously, their running back's better. But there's something to, this is crazy. The Chiefs have won 17 consecutive one-score games.
Wow.
That's an NFL record by far. Brady and the Patriots are in second place, and they won 13 straight one-score games. So, like, this goes back to, like, early 2023. 17 straight one-score games. So, like, learning how to win, it's a skill, right? They block a kick. They make a kick. They cause a turnover. They don't turn the ball. Whatever it is.
They catch that pass that Josh Allen threw at the end of the game. And it's like Laz was saying, it is like, you can't necessarily explain it every time. It's just that they do. And they, when if they're in the same situation that the Bills are in at the end of that game, they win.
Like we talked about, and I think we talked about with you, Danny, where I said it felt like Mahomes was not getting all of the, when you do something wrong, it works anyway throughout the season. And Josh Allen was getting those all season. And I just said, eventually you come to the median. Like, you know, and we talk about it in baseball, if you hit the ball hard and they keep track of that and you have a 182 batting average, people will be like, don't worry about it. Keep hitting it hard because you're going to have some fall into play that shouldn't be hits, and you're going to get back to that median where, you know, the numbers just work out themselves. And when I saw Josh Allen throw that ball blindly with his head turned and the wide receiver drop it, I was like, 3 weeks ago he catches it. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's just it, right? And so my fear is to some degree, whatever it is, it feels like in that game Mahomes started to hit those things. So, you know, he's probably got a couple of plays left in him where, you know, a miraculous eyes closed play works.
Listen, I'll put it this way. If they're down four with 90 seconds left and a timeout at their own 25, I like their chances.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. For years we didn't. Years and years as fans, but now this team is wanting to do like their chances.
I put money on the game both ways, but I put money on the game for the Chiefs to win and then other stuff along with that parlay. But then I put a little bit of money, like more, on the Bills minus 14 because I thought if they beat them, they got to beat them by 14. They can't beat them.
And I thought that might happen.
That's not a thing. And I'll make that same bet this time. I'll bet the Chiefs to win with a couple of parlay things that they're going to get, and then I'll bet the Eagles minus 14. Because if the Eagles are going to beat them, then Saquon's going to have to go off and score a couple touchdowns early, and that defense is going to have
to
turn over Mahomes once. I mean, there's a way to do it, just nobody's been able to do it.
Right. The Chiefs don't seem as explosive, though obviously they clearly had been saving stuff for the biggest games, and they played their best offensive game of the season against Buffalo, right? Scored the most points. So I do think they still have more tricks up their sleeve for Philly, but Philly is, in some categories, the best defense in the NFL. But what you're saying basically is, like, they'll win a one-score game, they'll win a close game, but there is that chance that Philly is just much better, they have that much more talent, and it'll be like that Super Bowl against Tampa, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, it was like, okay, well, this isn't really on Mahomes. Mahomes played great. He was, like, throwing passes when he was horizontal and parallel to the turf and going off guys' heads, and he was just running for his life, and, you know, the offensive line was injured and all that stuff. But Tampa was just better, and it was a terrible matchup for the Chiefs, and they lost by 20.
Can I ask you guys something
about...
And
Philadelphia does have, in my thought process, too, Philadelphia does have the ability to get up by 10 and pound Saquon.
Yeah,
look, right. That is a different game set than what, I mean, if the Bills are going to win, they're going to have to win a shootout and throw it all over the field. And I feel like if you get up by 7 or 10 and you're Philadelphia, you're like, here you go, man. Hand it to the running back. Let's keep Pat off the field. And they have the ability to do that.
Philadelphia's offensive line is so good that just think about it. Jason Kelce, Travis's brother, who's probably going to the Hall of Fame, retired. And they didn't lose a step at center because Cam Jurgens is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt, and they moved their Pro Bowl guard, Landon Dickerson, over to center, and they were still awesome.
Right.
Like, they just, both of their tackles were all pros, Mailata and Lane Johnson. They've got a quarterback who squats 600 pounds in Jalen Hurts, and they have the best running back in the world in Saquon Barkley. Like, I said it on the show, and people said, oh, you're just being disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. They could have beaten Washington if Jalen Hurts didn't play. Like, yeah. They could have, they had, 7 rushing touchdowns in that game? Kenny Pickett can hand the ball off.
Right.
Like,
no, you're right.
There is a version of Philadelphia that offensively, like, if they don't turn it over, if they don't make mistakes, that is just like, oh, it feels like they don't need to pass. Like, that one drive that Buffalo had in the third quarter where they only had the one pass and every other play was a run. Like, it feels like Philadelphia can do that for 4 quarters against basically anybody. So, yeah, if you fall down 10-0 early, like, they score, you turn it over, they kick a field goal, and it's like you're down 10-0 quick, that can feel like 21-0 against them.
But didn't you feel like – all right, so first off, when the Chiefs came out, those first 15 to 20, I don't know how many they were, scripted plays that Andy Reid put together were amazing. Like,
amazing.
I mean, just destroyed their defense and anything that they thought they were going to do. It was crazy. And on the opposite side of that, the Bills came out and Josh Allen almost threw 2 interceptions right away. So their scripted plays did not work. But at some point is that game, first off, when Kansas City went down and scored, I said game's over. That's it, because I believe they had to beat them by 14. And now I know Kansas City's going to score against this defense, so whatever. You're not going to score 80. So this game's over.
Right.
But it also feels like when games are close, and this is what worries about me about the Eagles and gives the edge to the Chiefs. When games are close, it reminds me of Tiger Woods on Sunday, down by 3 on hole 7. And whoever's in front of them just starts doing stuff that they don't normally do. They start chasing points or not chasing points or going for it when they shouldn't. There's just this kind of panic because you're like, Tiger's coming. You know he's coming, and I got to do something. I feel the same way about Mahomes. You know? You're like, even when you get up in the second quarter, you're doing stuff that, man, I don't think we should be doing. And you get off of what's made you great. I feel like I see it every time in the playoffs.
Mark Schlereth has told this anecdote a couple of times, and he basically says, he's like, when you're the juggernaut team, and one of the Super Bowl teams with Elway that he won, they were a 14-win, 1 seed, had the bye and all that. He was like, we knew that teams felt like they had to play a perfect game to beat us, and there's no such thing. And so when the first thing happens that isn't perfect, you drop a pass, you get called for a holding penalty, you fumble, whatever it is, he's like, you can see it. You can sense that the other team's like, oh, here we go again, we blew it. We didn't play the perfect game.
Right.
And yeah, that makes sense to me.
And that seems to be this like unspoken, unquantifiable advantage that the Chiefs have. Now, the Eagles, they easily could have won that Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Jalen Hurts played like the game of his life. They do have a regular season win over them. So I think, by and large, the Eagles believe they can beat the Chiefs. But Hurts, you could say, he outplayed Mahomes in that Super Bowl, except for the fumble.
Yeah.
He doesn't fumble that ball. Maybe Philly wins. So.
And I agree with both of you and I thought the same thing about the Buffalo game as well. If Buffalo's going to win, I bet they win by a couple scores. Mm-hmm. If it's a close game, then the Chiefs are going to win because that's what they've been doing all year. But I also think that even if Philly gets up by 10, or 14 for that matter, Mahomes we've seen before, that doesn't seem to cause him to make the mistakes or get in his head like it would to just about any other player. And this is not me saying this as a Chiefs fan. I see sports guys on TV, on the radio. I hear them say all the time, one of the things that makes him great is that he excels. He's at his absolute best in the toughest moments.
Sure.
When you're behind in a playoff game, in a Super Bowl situation. And as a fan of his, as someone who's watched him every game he's played, you also don't lose hope when they're down 10.
No.
You don't get overly discouraged. You don't think like, well, they're going to blow this.
No, it's so true. I mean, and that's actually been really the most prevalent in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But he has had slow starts.
Very stressful.
He has had slow starts in Super Bowls before, and obviously in the aggregate, wins almost all of them and then always wins Super Bowl MVP. So he definitely can come back, and he definitely doesn't hang his head or get phased. And he's had, the craziest comebacks we've seen in the sport, right?
But let's just say, as we talked about earlier, if anybody has the ability to go up by 10 or 14 and then just kill the clock, don't snap it till there's 2 seconds left, run Saquon for 3, 4, 5, 6 yards, and keep Mahomes off the field,
that's
got to be Philadelphia's game plan. It has to be. And it makes much sense, but you're just scared. If you're an Eagles fan, you're just scared that you're going to freak out and be like, no, we got to throw the bomb. And it's like, well, now it's second down. You didn't take any time off the clock. You went away from your game plan because you're scared of Pat Mahomes. And then the Chiefs end up winning by 3 anyways. You had the game. You had the game plan. But you're scared of Tiger on the back nine.
Yeah, no, there's no
doubt. They just sank one into the water for no goddamn reason.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni needs to have the discipline to...
And most guys don't have it.
No, and most guys don't have it. And Philly, maybe this is me buying into the media narrative having an impact as someone who is now weirdly a part of the national media that helps craft these narratives. But Philly talks about how Jalen Hurts wins a lot but doesn't get the respect of the other guys who win a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and I'm like, well, it's objectively deserved. Like, he doesn't pass that much.
Right.
A lot of guys, he literally is dead last in the league, 36th out of 36 of qualified guys in pass attempts per game.
Oh, really? I knew it was low. I didn't know he was the
I just did this on the show today, so the numbers are fresh in my mind. He's played in the same number of games this year as last year, right? He's played in 18 games, regular season and postseason combined. He has 147 fewer pass attempts this year than last year. That's not just Saquon Barkley, right? That is a...
Does he have, just curiously, if you look that up, does he have more run attempts?
He does.
He has a lot of yards,
not by
sure.
much, but he had 15 interceptions in the regular season last year. He only had 5 this year.
Okay.
They came into the year very clearly and were like, we have a super team. Just don't turn the ball over.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's not that he can't pass. It's just everything else around him is so much better. But most likely in a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes, you're going to need your quarterback to make some plays. Can he do it? Yeah, but they've been trying to make him do as little as possible to win. So Sirianni has been talking. He's like, why doesn't he get talked about like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes? And I'm like, he's not as good. Like,
right.
He's winning as much, but he's not as good. And so it would be, Jalen Hurts, after the game and after the NFC Championship, was like, yeah, you let me out of my straitjacket. After A.J. Brown said that the passing game needed to improve when they had 100 passing yards against Carolina, Jalen Hurts had the good game against Pittsburgh, and then he sat down at the press conference and he was like, so is that what y'all wanted to see? Like, Philly, they do hear it, and they do seem to, cater some of their game plans, making Jalen Hurts look good. And to your point, Laszlo, that'd be the dumbest thing you could do.
Just exactly. Don't fall into that trap.
Yeah, run the ball 50 times, keep Mahomes off.
And by the way, have Jalen Hurts run the ball.
Yeah.
Right. He's excellent at it.
He's great at it.
He's a great leader. He's obviously a gamer. He's a crazy good, strong, short yardage runner. Like, just
Well, let's hope he throws the ball. Because we also with McDuffie out there, like, you know, and if he does decide he thinks he needs to throw the ball to win the game, the problem is that the Chiefs have been winning by the slimmest of margins all season. Yeah. It's not like a few years back where they were blowing people out. Maybe they know better than to get in their head and think, we're going to have to throw.
Score? What you got to score for the game?
Yeah, what's your final score?
Yeah, I'll go like 30-27 Chiefs. I don't think that the defense, I don't think Philly's going to slow down the Chiefs. I think the scripted plays, the stuff we talked about, Mahomes in a big game. I think the story of the team in the season and the last 2 years has been winning close games. So I'm not picking against them. I think Saquon will have a great game. I think it'll be a classic. But if it comes down to the end, I'm picking the Chiefs, no doubt.
All right.
I think that's as good a score as I would.
There you go. Pick. Danny Parker says Chiefs -4. Well, three and a half.
Yeah, I said three, but the spread's 1.5. So take the over 4-3. Who cares? They're gonna win.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
See you guys.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's happening, man.
What's happening?
We knew it would be a slippery slope. We talked like I remember when we talked to the adult attorney. I think his handle was like at my adult attorney.
Oh, yeah,
the guy that tries to keep porn accessible to everyone. He didn't like the bans that states have where you have to prove your age. Mm-hmm. I know you guys use VPNs. I'm still curious if someone who's listening has just gone about it on the up and up and figured out, okay, this is what I have to put in to prove my age. Because some states you can use an email, they said. And I don't know how your email, maybe a Gmail, because Google knows everything about you. I'm not sure, but I read that some states allow emails. Some states you have to put in, like, your name and your address, which you're like, yeah, this is kind of why I didn't want to have to do this. But I was just curious in Kansas what it is, because I wouldn't be surprised comes to Missouri, but so far.
VPN it.
Just VPN it. And you just use your free VPN, sit there and check out Cam Soda.
Yep.
Well, here it is. An Oklahoma senator is talking about, you know what we should probably do? Ban pornography. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
He's a Republican senator in Oklahoma.
What's his
and
name?
He has introduced 8 bills aimed at restoring moral sanity, including legislation making possession of a wide range of pornography a criminal offense and an end to no-fault divorce. And I was going to ask about the no-fault divorce thing because I know a lot of states used to be fault. Like, if you cheated on me, now you owe me more money because you're the one who messed up this relationship. And over time, more and more states were like, we're not going to get into the weeds of who did what. No fault, right? Like,
yeah, I think a bigger concern is not that. A bigger concern is for women, because I think what this guy's going to head to and what they had talked about Trump perhaps being okay with is when the fault divorces first started, it was in the idea that you had to prove that a judge had to grant you the divorce.
Right, right.
So it wasn't like who's going to pay more, who's going to pay less. That's what it kind of turned into. And then because of that, it went to no fault. Like, hey, we're just going to build a graph. Whoever makes this makes that. Here, this is how it goes. But at one point it was so that women couldn't just say, I want to get a divorce. And dudes could be like, no, I don't want one. And then you'd have to go to the court and she'd have to prove that he cheated on you.
He's a bad husband.
Right. Not that just, I don't love him anymore. That wasn't an answer.
Because it's weird. You still have that formality when you go in front of a judge and my lawyer has to say, he would like to get divorced. Will you allow him to get divorced? And then he says, okay, yes. And I know that they say yes. But in that moment, look to me like you could have technically said, no, you need to work things out. And we've heard stories
that was in Missouri,
other states,
right?
Yeah, in Missouri.
Right, in Kansas, they don't do that.
Oh, you don't even have to have go in front of the judge and say, we're
getting
divorced? I never
saw a judge.
Oh, okay. Well, my ex didn't either. She sent me.
Right.
But, yeah, you had to go get make it official, and the judge says, okay, grant it or whatever, you're divorced. So Missouri's a fault state then?
Missouri is a fault state.
Oh, I did. Okay. All right. Well, this senator's name is perfect for a guy from Oklahoma. His name's Dusty. And, like I said, it's all family values type stuff. There's 8 bills, and it's all supposed to restore moral sanity. And the bills were introduced, what's today, the 29th? It was like sometime last week. I think it was the 20th or 21st. In response to what he termed the left's century-long assault on morality and decency. The left is assaulting morality and decency. It says here Newsweek contacted Dusty Devers for a comment via email, And I guess they didn't hear back. But they say, according to an Institute for Family Studies report published in May of 2022, 58% of Americans said they had watched porn at some point in their lives, including 27% in the past month.
Okay, boy, 58%.
Those numbers seem a little low. Yeah. 58% like, well, I've come across it. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Really? So there's 40% of you out there who are like, never seen it, stay away from it. I believe that maybe somewhere there is some, like in a religious cult, who managed to avoid porn somehow with no internet and they live off the grid. Maybe. But it ain't 40% of Americans.
No.
That's ridiculous. Come on, seen porn at some time in your life. And the 27% that you saw in the past month. Okay, so you go a whole month and you don't look at it once. Not even in a down moment, you know, sitting at a stoplight.
Okay.
Whatever it is, you know, just happen to take a look and say, I wonder if they've updated this OnlyFans today. I'll just
take a look at
the preview.
I mean, that's why we had to ban it in certain states, because nobody looked at it.
Right, exactly. That
like,
was the
I mean,
problem.
What are you talking like, right? Like,
yeah, it's okay. Not popular. They say criminalizing such a widespread activity would have massive implications for the criminal justice system, and critics argue it would violate the First Amendment protection of free expression, which is how porn has been legal this whole time, because paying for sex is illegal in this country, and yet in pornography they are paying the performers to have sex with one another, and oftentimes the director is the performer, so he's paying someone to have sex with him, and he's going to film it. But as long as he films it and releases it, it's free expression, and that's legal. So that's how we've had porn in this country this whole time, is the free expression, the First Amendment. I don't know what this guy would do to say, I mean, I'm sure he would just say that is not what they meant. I've seen some of the things on the internet, and that is not what the founders were trying to protect. And he might be onto something, actually. I don't know.
Well, okay, but then, I mean, it's just not...
Who decides?
Well, not only that, just if you're going to... We're going to go roll that way, Dusty, then I'm guessing the founders, when they wrote the second, weren't talking about Uzis, so...
Exactly.
You know, if it's... We're either strict constitutionalists or we're not, Dusty. Either it's freedom of speech... And that's the way that it goes, and it's a right to bear arms, but it's not one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's not one for one and one for the other. That's not the way it's going to... I mean, that is probably the way it's going to work, but it's not the way it should
right,
work.
Right. They talk about how several Republican-controlled states have already passed this legislation to, you know, require age stuff, whatever, like Kansas. And in these eight bills, they say it's like SB 593, which both toughens the penalties for possession of child pornography. Okay, I think people are fine with that, right? And then makes a wide variety of other pornography illegal. Well, it's like, Dusty, you had me with the child porn. If you said we need harsher punishments for child pornography, manufacturers, whatever, my instinct is to think, oh, if it's not bad enough, then make it worse. But then you say a wide variety of other pornography, then I need to know a little bit more details. Uh-huh. The legislation defines any visual depiction or individual image showing a range of acts, including vaginal, anal, and oral intercourse, and the lewd exhibition of uncovered sexual organs as unlawful pornography. Pointedly, legislation would not prevent spouses from sending each other sexually explicit messages. So he's like, hey, when folks on the family, we want that couple, you know, you're smoking hot wife, that whole thing. You go ahead and text one another, but you can't get it online. And I don't know what happens if you get pictures from someone who isn't your wife. And maybe he would say that's bad, too. Like, that's porn. But, yeah. Here we are. That lawyer told us it's
not
going to
happen, though, right? I mean, who is
this
guy?
Well, no, that's like what this Newsweek article is saying, is that it's too many people use porn. It would be almost impossible to enforce, because how are you going to, you're just going to start arresting everybody? How many people have some depiction on their browsing history, on their phone or whatever, of sex?
Right.
Vaginal sex, oral sex, whatever. And now you're going to say, oh, that's illegal, so we're going to charge these people? There's just no way to do it. So I'm sure he's trying to make a name for himself. And you know what? It works, because I know who Dusty is now.
I don't want to see it. What does he do now?
He's a state senator from Oklahoma.
State senator. So he's not a senator.
Yeah. Yeah. State Senator, Oklahoma.
Yeah, whatever. They don't make rules.
Well, they make rules for their state.
I think they have to have other jobs to make ends meet.
I think they're the ones who, like, make the you know, age verification laws.
Yeah, I know they are, but, like, okay. So well, I mean, he's got no juice. He's not talking to Trump.
No. But he might have juice in Oklahoma, maybe. I don't know. But, no, I'm not worried about Dusty being the one who bans porn in Missouri or Kansas. But point is, you know, just, we all agree. Stay out of it.
We like porn.
We like porn. 60% of my ass. It's a lot more than that.
You watch 60% of ass porn. That is true.
Well, that doesn't matter. That's my right.
If they took away vaginal porn, would you care?
No. I'm not sure it still exists.
First they came for
the
vaginal
mostly
porn,
without it.
And then they came for the hand porn, and I said nothing.
Yeah.
But then they came for the gay sex porn, and here I was.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, are we done?
That's it, my man. We're out of here.
Dusty Devers. Is that his name?
Dusty Devers. Dusty Devers.
You think Dusty Dever never looks at porn?
I think Dusty Devers definitely looks at porn. I think people who, you know, get too vocal about stuff like that, in my experience at least, almost always.
Dusty Dever.
A certain kind of porn they look at, probably.
Right. He's like, this is ridiculous. There's all this porn that I shouldn't be looking at, and I can't stop myself. Yeah. Let's just ban it. It's like, well, you know, I'm sorry that you're into it.
Projection.
Yeah, get rid of your smartphone. I don't know. Get a flip phone. Get rid of your laptop. Anyhow, yeah, I think he looks at porn. I think he masturbates to porn. Do I know this? Of course not. I don't know Dusty Devers. I feel like I know him with that name.
But he's a guy.
Sounds like an old friend, but he's a guy. He's a middle-aged guy, white guy. Yeah, I think he's looked at porn. And I think he's looked at it in the last month, if I had to guess.
Man, it takes balls.
To just be that full
to
of
to just
crap.
Say it. Just do it. Like, you don't have to do it. That's the thing. Like, you don't have to. Like, everybody knows. You can, you know, I'm looking him up. He's the guy who said, you know, the vaccines were like Nuremberg. Like, well, everybody knows you're right. You call yourself an abortion like, everyone knows you're super far right, man. Like, you don't have to throw it out there that you want to ban porn. Like, well, I almost feel like some of these guys are like, I know people are going to get mad at me, but I feel like they're like serial killers. And I mean that in a sense, like they want to throw something out there to see if you can catch them. And they know that you can't, but they're like, look, how about porno? Nobody likes porno. And people are like, dude, I think the serial killer likes porno. Somebody look into it. Like, why are you tempting fate?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know you do. And now I know even more now. But it's like, you got to send a letter written with your left hand. With letters backwards to see if we could catch you or not, right? Doesn't it sound like that?
Well, and a lot of them are narcissists, so, you know, I believe them to be at least. So there is, you know, maybe there's... But think about this. I now know Dusty Devers' name, so he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
Because I would have never heard of a state senator from Oklahoma otherwise, and now I know there's a really far-right Republican state senator. If you're looking for someone who will never be moderate...
I mean, he won the goddamn thing with 1,400 votes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I got more than that for sheriff, and I'm an idiot.
Yeah. So it's not that impressive.
It's really not.
But.
Well, he's out there now.
He got his name out there. He's making the most of it. It's what you do. I mean, I understand, like, even if you're from a big state, it means more. But I just think anytime you're in state politics like
that,
he
says anybody who does all that will be punished by up to 20 years in prison.
Yeah, prison time. Sorry.
20 years.
If I did not say that, I meant to.
I don't know if I heard the 20 years.
That's why they were saying it would be really difficult to enforce that. You have a lot of people being locked up. A lot of people in the court system, first of all, going through a lot of people's phones.
Well, the bill also criminalizes drag performances.
Oh, I didn't see the drag thing.
Yeah, that's really tagged into the bill there.
Well, he's really against free expression, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know what? I think this guy probably looks at porn and drag. Now that you've told me that. Would I be surprised by that at all? Absolutely not.
And he feels
not.
Real guilty
puts
about
on women's
it.
Clothes
real
and masturbates
ashamed.
And then goes, I hate this. Sin of this world. Yeah.
Well, good show, Dusty Devers. Stay positive, kids.
It's the Church of Laszlo.